The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Russ Chifley says, another day, another cryptic fake intellectual Jew exposed. Bro, I think I'm suffering from major depression. I am in a bad mood just looking at the public space, thinking of all the sacrifices we've made for liberty, only to see the public space be filled with these spammers, fake accounts, anonymous accounts, Jews that are trying to subvert the right. Oh, here we're going to have our Jewish account that makes this argument, and we're going to have our Jewish account that makes this argument. And oh, here, let's steal some audience from JF. We're going to have a Jewish account about race realism. Holy fucking shit, what the fuck is your budget for subversion? It's fucking tiring to always have fakers. They just there to occupy a space. They want to grab it back to Jews. Oh yeah, okay, well, JF is making those arguments about race realism, but JF isn't Jewish. What if we had a Jew that's a race realist? Well, there we go. Kremier was created. And now what do we learn? Kremier is a Jew. He has a Reddit account where he fantasizes about trans, dick inversion, whatever it is. And it's like, is that all you have? You have just an infinite flow of trans Jews wanting to subvert American civilization? This is what it is? So you got your first layer, you got your second layer, you got your intellectual dark web layer, you have your P30 layer, you have your Bronze Age pervert layer, and then you have a layer below this. When does it stop? When can we get actual engagement? I miss the times of truth. I miss the times of being wrong at times. But at this point, I can see their game for so long that this guy got exposed today. I blocked this guy 6 months ago. 6 months ago, or maybe a year ago, don't exactly remember when. I blocked Kremier, and he had done nothing. I just felt it at this point. I was like, no, there's a game being played here. There's an enterprise of subversion. This guy just shows out of nowhere, starts being retweeted by the Babs of this world. Oh, look, Kremier has some data about race. Oh, nice. Look at this blue point. Like, it's lower than this red point right here. Oh, my God. Oh, race is... Oh! And I was like, something is wrong with this guy. There's something wrong with a guy that shows up out of nowhere to address a demon that basically... corresponds to an old internet subclass of audience, like the type of people who would watch Alt-Type or would watch JF back in 2017-2019. And boom! Kremier is Jordan Lasker, a Jewish Baptist academic. He's close with Emil Kierkegaard. Ah, isn't that interesting? Emil Kierkegaard, friend with Peter Thiel. Emil Kierkegaard, who reviewed the revolutionary phenotype but didn't even address the scientific theory in it. Instead, spent his time arguing, oh, well, It's not cited by academics, so it must be false. It's not, there's no impact factor. JF's impact factor is low. These people are on some kind of secret project to take over the internet, to take over the right, and they've succeeded in a large portion. They've succeeded to the extent that we have Trump in power, but we have no power over Trump, and they are controlling the strings in the background. So Cremieux is Jordan Lasker, a Jewish Baptist academic. He's close with Emil Kierkegaard, who met Peter Thiel. Jordan wrote on Jews being superior to whites. Of course, one of the aspects of Cremieux was always, when it came, it's always race realism, oh, look at how low the blacks are. But it always boiled down to, but the Jews are very, very good. And he was a Jew himself. On Cremieux's Reddit, he's a user of r/shemalebigcock, an NSFW trans Reddit. So the guy is a Jew consuming trans porn, sharing about trans fantasies of shemale bigcocks. And this is supposed to be our guide on race realism. Oh, show me those graphs, please, Cremieux. The guy is an enterprise of subversion, a la Peter Thiel, like all the others. Bronze Age Pervert, the links between Bronze Age Pervert. Here we see a bunch of people who were recommending following Bronze Age Pervert. The early people who followed this guy, Bronze Age Pervert, Captive Dreamer, the same fucking crew that's trying to subvert the entire internet for who knows what, because their full plan hasn't yet been exposed as far as I'm concerned. Why is Peter Thiel investing so much on these thinkers that are anonymous, trying to build these Twitter accounts with data? I don't know, but these people are making 10 times the money I'm making being dishonest, and that really sucks, because there was a time on the internet where honesty was paying off. But we have entered the spam era of the internet, where fabricated personalities are being asked to acquire an audience so that they can be shut down or gatekept on some other subject. What seems to be the case here is that a bunch of people were asked to develop race realist Twitter accounts, develop a following, but always redirect the race realism away from the Jewish question. It sucks, man. It kills me inside when I see this. Because it's subversive, it's part of the new Elon Musk, because in a way the left had dealt with this by banning everyone. But now that everyone is unbanned, they have to fight people like me. They have to fight people like Nick Fuentes. And so what do? They try to acquire, they try to subvert, cut the grass under our feet by making it look like they're open to talk about certain the limited hangout. That is what people term a limited hangout. It's the idea of, we're going to engage on all these subjects that you seem to want to engage in, but not this one. And this one is, of course, Jewish control. Blimpy Survivor says, this is losing with the appearance of winning. Absolutely. And so we find ourselves with a subverted Trump administration that is playing all of the cards of Israel. Tomorrow he's telling us we will get the JFK file released. To me, the threshold about whether this is a successful release or a trap like the Jeff Epstein was, is this going to implicate Mossad? Because if there's no implication of Mossad, then I am convinced that this is not the whole truth. If there is implication of Mossad, then perhaps Trump will have been honest with the release, but Trump doesn't even seem to be aware of what will be in the release, because he said, oh yeah, we gave this to Tulsi Gabbard, and oh, then Tulsi Gabbard will delegate it to some employee, and down the line they will be trying to obfuscate, to censor, to bar with black markers. Now, Trump was saying to a press conference that he asked for there to be no redaction. Does that mean we're going to get absolutely zero redaction and everything will be on there? I would love to, but Trump has been disappointing on this front. So that's why I'm black-pilled and depressed. It's like all of these things we saw and all of these things we were right about. If you were to listen to JF 1 year ago, 2 years ago, Nick Fuentes 1 year ago, 2 years ago, you would basically have the rollout of everything that's happening right now predicted. Basically, there's no news here. There's no news since the beginning of the Trump administration. No news, because each of these things we told you would happen. So things are so perceivable, the game is so transparent, that two free thinkers out of nowhere can just see it, just out of the regular unfolding of public events. And I miss the time where the world was more mysterious to me. Because when you end up being right on so much, you end up realizing that the world really sucks. It's really this puppet game of low-level manipulation of people, and they have infinite layers of it, and if you uncover one, they have another one, and it never stops. Give me 1 minute, I'll be back. So yeah, attack on the Houthis of Yemen, predicted by Nick Fuentes to the timestamp point. I mean, Nick Fuentes had said it's going to be within roughly the 101st days of the Trump administration, an attack on the Houthis, the goal of this attack being to implicate Iran and to build this into a bigger war with Iran. Boom, what do we have? This weekend, all weekend long, U.S. strikes against Houthis. And what do we get on Truth Social? Trump saying, oh, these Houthis, we have bombarded them. Now, if they respond to our action, we will consider any action of them as being the actions of Iran. So it's like everything that we saw, the worst case scenario that we were afraid of and that we kept warning people about, is being unfolded in front of our eyes as if it's spontaneous. But it can't be spontaneous if we've seen it. It can't be spontaneous if Nick Fuentes knew exactly what you were going to do. And ultimately what we have is, there is a bunch of forces who are trying to implicate the U.S. in a war with Iran, and it's for the benefit of Israel. Because Israel has an issue coexisting with other people around them. They have a big issue. They don't want to see developments around them. They are so paranoid that if another country becomes somewhat armed, not even with the nuclear weapon, but somewhat armed, they start making up these lies and they start trying to implicate the U.S. And that's the pattern we're seeing with Iran right now. We have a nice performance here. I love popping. What do you think of this dance here?
Bye.
Yeah, this guy has a good future ahead of him. For his age, I think it's great popping. I think he should decompose the movements. He should take more his time. You know, sometimes your instinct as a popper is to introduce a large, dense movement, but the reality is that less is more. And I would follow the model of nonstop here and really take your time for each movement, each subsection of your arm to be moving. And the best that I know in this domain is nonstop, because this kid is letting himself go with too much movement. But he's got the popping. The popping is perfect. Now he has to combine this with a more graceful decomposition of these curvy movements. Oh man, remember the COVID crisis. He is at peace. We are so sorry. Heart sign. Bro. If you were not enough blackpilled up to now in the show, remember that the fucking government started kidnapping old people to kill them on respirators so they could collect all that money flow that Trump was promising. Oh, it's a great crisis, the COVID. We're gonna pay. And basically putting a price on old people's head in America to the point where hospitals were incentivized at kidnapping them, giving them the wrong healthcare for with the hope that they die on respirators. Holy shit. And in this process, they had to isolate these old people from families because it is so much easier to get away with murder when the family is not there to review what you're giving, to give their opinion. He is at peace. We are so sorry. Wow. Man, these nurses must have something on their conscience. You're going to have a bunch of nurses, I guess, in 5-10 years from now, coming out with massive depression, thinking about what they've been doing. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the Streamlabs link, jfgtonight.com/tip, in the description below. Streamlabs is my favorite platform for super chats and tips to support the show. They give the best rate so that your money gets to me. Thomas Massey is making an announcement regarding the Iranian war. Constitutional public service announcement. To strike Iran requires a vote of Congress because it's an act of war. Yes, true, technically. Now, Congress is totally dominated by AIPAC, so it's like, it doesn't change anything. You're gonna get a yes vote for a war with Iran by Congress. That being said, you may not even need the vote because historically, U.S. presidents, yes, Blimpy Survivor says not if it's a special military operation. Exactly. Historically, the requirement has not been respected. And effectively, you can have the president going so hard on his special military operation that Congress then says, all right, we are at war, I guess. We wouldn't want to be seen as not supporting that war. And anyways, we're paid by AIPAC, so there's going to be a war. President Trump says JFK files will be released tomorrow.
Tomorrow, we have a tremendous amount of paper. You've got a lot of reading. I don't believe we're going to redact anything. I said, just don't redact. You can't redact.
See, that's important. If we get full everything in the JFK files unredacted, that would be everything that the government knew. Did they even explore the branch of the Mossad? That will be the question. To me, whether I'm satisfied tomorrow is to which extent is the role of Mossad exposed in those papers. That's what matters. Whether there's 99% of it that is blurred and barred doesn't matter. To me, the question is, will they bar the involvement of Mossad?
But we're going to be releasing the JFK files And that would be tomorrow. Do you have anything else to add to that, Carol? So that's a big announcement. They've been waiting for that for decades. Then I said during the campaign I'd do it, and I'm a man of my word. So tomorrow you have the JFK files. What time will they be released? Tomorrow afternoon. Okay.
All right. So tomorrow, he wasn't sure of when. This is Calice is reminding us of the standard that we should expect tomorrow. Mossad killed John F. Kennedy because Mossad was furious that JFK made Ben-Gurion the first PM and founder of Israel resign unless he stopped nuclear testing. If this isn't in the files tomorrow, you know Trump lied.
Very surprising series of letters between Kennedy and David Ben-Gurion, not only the prime minister, premier of Israel, but the founder of Israel, in which they're very angry letters, in which Kennedy is saying to Ben-Gurion, I'm killing myself trying to get a nuclear test ban treaty. I've even got De Gaulle on board, and that's impossible. And you keep testing in Dimona. You've got to stop. And Ben-Gurion, thank you, in so many words says, it's easy for you to say sitting in Hyannisport. I'm sitting with the Arabs all around me, and you want me to give up nuclear testing. And Kennedy threatens him. And he threatens him in such a way that Ben-Gurion resigns. And I will tell you that I found articles, not in any crackpot publications, but in very sophisticated publications saying, forget Lyndon Johnson, forget the CIA, forget Fidel Castro. The Mossad killed Kennedy because they were so upset over what he did to Ben-Gurion.
So it touches right at the heart of the Jewish question, which is, if there is such control of Jews over politics in modern times, what happened when America had a chance to get presidents that would side with American interests independent of Israeli interest? And if it is the case that JFK was one of them, why did he get killed? And is it how Jews basically have cemented their power in modern America, which is by showing by example that if you were not to kneel strongly enough to them, they would kill you? That is a very important question in the context of understanding Trump, understanding why is there so much kneeling, why many politicians see it as unavoidable to accept AIPAC money and to have their AIPAC handlers. Blimpy supervisor says Bill Hicks has a great bit about exactly that. President Trump has pulled the Secret Service details of Hunter Biden and Ashley Biden effective immediately. Hunter Biden has had Secret Service protection for an extended period of time, all paid for by the U.S. taxpayer. There are as many as 18 people on this detail, which is ridiculous. He is currently vacationing in, of all places, South Africa, where the human rights of people has been strenuously questioned. Because of this, South Africa has been taken off our list of countries receiving economic and financial assistance. Please be advised that effective immediately, Hunter Biden will no longer receive Secret Service protection. Likewise, Ashley Biden, who has 13 agents, will be taken off the list. Well, that's good news. Hunter Biden, who claimed that he was now poor and didn't have money to survive, he's currently in vacationing in South Africa, out of all places. That's very bizarre. And he's there with Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen DeGeneres has just published some pictures of her apparently hanging out with Hunter Biden. She's an enemy of Trump. She hates him. She said that she would move out of the U.S. at some point. I think she may have even done it. I'm not sure. Here we see the U.S. warhead that created massive crater in first scenes of aftermath of American airstrikes on a steel factory in Yemen, Al Hudaya. So, as was pointed out by, who was it, the Jew who argues for Palestine, Dave Smith. Dave Smith was pointing out today, we've been basically destroying Yemen since 2009. We've been bombarding them, all of this to make Israel feel secure, and all of this to help a kind of alliance between Israel and the Arab countries around to kind of create a Arab-Jew alliance between Saudi Arabia, Israel, and in the process help fight against these Houthi rebels that are holding a country at the south of Saudi Arabia, and a country that is well positioned to basically bombard ships that are operating commerce that are looking to pass in between toward Israel and pass to North Africa and to the seas there for mostly trade between China and Europe. Actually, there's not many American ships that need this transit space, but it's mostly for China, Europe, Africa. So the Yemen have been responding to our aggression since 2009 and have been sometimes attacking ships. And a few days ago, they have attacked a U.S. warship in response to the aggression that is more recent. It seems that the aggression has killed a few women, children, civilians. So it's already a humanly costly action that the U.S. has taken there, not particularly focused, not particularly, when they do special operations to take off just one member of ISIS, it looks like they basically affected aspects of Yemen civil society, including a steel factory. Now, I'm sure that they would tell you the steel factory was used to build weapons and missiles, sure. King Wamba sends $10. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, serving the black pills we need to hear and contend with. Absolutely. And this video, this is a good edit by Perma Bula. And it's a good edit on what we do know solidly about Israel and 9/11. Because I've never been quite to the point of saying Israel did 9/11. There's definitely very weird stuff happening around Israel then. And there's definitely a possibility, but I've never been to the categorical claim they for sure did 9/11. But when you look at those circumstances that are highlighted by Nick Fuentes, you start to think, holy shit. Who else could have done it?
September 11, 2001, the towers go down, and there's all kinds of questions. Ariel Sharon becomes prime minister in March 2001. At the same time, Israeli art students are being caught all over the United States. You can look this up. 200 of them were rounded up by the CIA. They were found roaming the halls of federal government buildings, taking pictures. They were Mossad agents. And then, as if they knew in advance precisely what would take place, a number of Israelis were arrested just across the river in New Jersey, photographing it. They had set up a camera on a tripod to record the event and were caught dancing and celebrating. Other Israelis were caught in a van in the tunnel with explosives, and they were later identified as Mossad agents. They were returned to Israel. And then, after 9/11, the United States went to war against every Arab Muslim country. One day, suddenly, for no reason at all, 9/11 occurs after hundreds of Mossad agents have been rounded up all year, as Ariel Sharon, the author of the plan in the 80s, becomes the prime minister, and the authors of the Clean Break Report take control of the Pentagon under the presidency of George W. Bush. perfectly situated. They both in tandem, the United States and Israel, wage a global war on every Muslim country that hasn't submitted to Israel, which is going on to this day.
I mean, what a delivery, what an edit. This tells you all you need to know in terms of those things are for sure. Those things are verified. This is not speculation about termites and are the columns of steel, would they melt? Could they melt? And look at how the building falls. It looks like it could be this or that. No, no. This is known, and this is fucking worrying on its own. John Drake says, if the States got its extra oil and gas from Canada, there wouldn't be a need to be in the Middle East. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you're right. I do not know. Dave Smith says, do you have the slightest idea what the U.S. has done to Yemen since 2009? Are you sure you want to play the right to defend card? Absolutely. We've been on all these Middle Eastern countries that Israel doesn't like. We've been interfering with their development. We've been bombing their manufacturers. Anytime they would develop to a point, we've been neutralizing them. So it's really unfair what has been done to these Middle Eastern nations, and it's been done to keep them from developing. It's been done literally to interfere with their economic development, because Israel cannot stomach the idea of not being the most powerful place in the Middle East. A hailstorm in Missouri, pretty spectacular here.
Now it's too better. I have never seen anything.
Oh, oh my God.
Stacks of. Just balls of ice falling.
That's crazy.
I had never seen hail like this. Oh my God! It's gonna go up. Oh my God! Look at this.
It looks like it's
coming up the side of the door. That's about 14 inches, 16 inches now, 18 inches.
Wow. DK Shadow says, someone casted the Blizzard spell. Oh yeah, there's all these conspiracies around weather modification. Ross Chifley sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, Tucker's position concerning Israel is strange. On the one hand, he tweets tonight a warning of war with Iran. On the other hand, he seems to be heavily mobbed up with the Van Steel and World Jewelry faction. Absolutely. And I don't know where Tucker falls into this whole theater of layers of subversion. It's actually very hard to put him exactly at a place. Is he being subversive? Is he a genuinely naive intellectual trying to figure out what's going on? Because there was a moment on his show a few days ago, and it got clipped a lot, where he says, I don't want to think, this is going to get clipped, and I don't even want to say it. And what he was about to say was that basically France or UK would be in better conditions if they had lost the war to Adolf Hitler. That was basically what he was about to say, but that he refused to say it. And so he's on this path of discovery of, basically, it's on the tip of his tongue, an idea that I've been expressing for many years now, which is that World War II was lost by the European peoples against the Jews. That is a view of World War II that that is quite obvious to me. A country that has lost is a country that must make concession, and they must give up powers, and they must give up sovereignty and autonomy. And we have given up sovereignty and autonomy to the Jews. And it wasn't always like this, where all podcasts are controlled by Jews, and it's a Jew interviewing another Jew about what do we do? America was not always like this, but America became like this as part of the post-World War II consensus. Bombing Yemen, says Ryan Dawson, is just the Zionist-occupied government of America's path to war with Iran. Jews and Judaized Christians think that God gave land to the chosen race, and all of these policies and wars revolve around that concept. A self-alienating cult with sub-Bronze Age morality has God-ordained racism and had to have their own country, and it had to be on that dirt. It's never going to be resolved because people are never going to let go of religion. I think there's that's a view that we had back in the days of George W. Bush. The view that, oh, it's a bunch of religious crazies. Both the Israelis are religious crazies, the Palestinians are religious crazies, and the warmonger, war hawks of the U.S. are Christian religious crazies. And I don't think it's a bad view, but I think it's an incomplete view. I think to see it solely through the eyes of religion, you lose something here. You lose a fight for existence. You lose the importance of Jewry as part of it, and a Jewry that is largely non-religious. Because the people like Eric Weinstein that go around to make these subversive cases, and I have a clip of Weinstein that we'll get to later, they don't have a biblical religious motivation. And yet they're part of this whole thing. We can see they're participating to the subversion. So to have the religious angle and axis is important, but it cannot be all. Ultimately, we are talking about a people that believes they are more valuable than alternative civilizations, and they believe they are justified in killing to free up the space for themselves. Blimpy Supervisor says, every time I mention Jews to my Christian uncle, he says I'm trying to eliminate them, and every time I say I want peaceful separation, his brain is broken. Oh, yeah. There is no such thing. If you just say the Jews, as Dave Chappelle as Dave Chappelle mentioned, if you just combine these two words, the Jews, you're not going to make it in show business. Silver Spider says, that's even before the left realized that the Muslims were brown, which canceled out religion. Oh yeah, what? Because it puts them in a victim category. Yeah, it's quite amazing how the Muslim Browns, they have a special blind spot. They can pass within the left. They can pass for a leftist. Here we have the segment where Tucker Carlson was suggesting that perhaps Europe would be in a better state if it had lost the war that it supposedly won.
I don't want to be dark. I know this is going to be clipped, but like at this point, Europe is so, and I love Europe and I'm there constantly and I have family there. I mean, I really love Europe truly as an American. Yeah. But like, it's so degraded, you know, I don't even want to say it. I'm not even going to say would it actually be worse or not. But it's pretty bad right now.
Well, probably if you would have some sort of an extended German Empire, probably not super strongly trying to destroy France or England, probably just trying to hold them to be non-threats to Germany. And you probably would have a demographically stable France and a demographically stable UK. So, yeah, there were three parties and four parties to the World War II, let's say, four important ones. The Soviet Empire, America, Germany, and the Jews. And one could argue that the Jews have won, And that is why America has been submitted since. Yukimaru has an important interrogation. He says a fat girl always has a boyfriend. Not quite sure why. Well, it's very easy, Yukimaru. A fat girl always has a boyfriend because there are too many incels, because the supply of sperm is incredibly higher than the supply of fertile eggs. And so there is a point at which, yes, even the least attractive, most fat, most unpleasant woman will have a boyfriend, because there are men who don't get to reproduce within their peak window at all. And so they have to go for second choices, third choices down the line. Because as a reminder, the fertile window of the female is this long. It's maybe, I mean, if you extend it, maybe 15 years. And there's also many years in there that's taken by career, by I don't want babies, by oh, for now I'm just dating. So it's down to really 5 or 6 years of actual reproduction for a woman in the modern context, unfortunately. A man's reproductive capability is over 40 years. 40 years, 6 years. So for every man, you have about seven times the sperm time, the sperm time unit that you need. You have sperm being created every time there's a man and a female born. They will go into the world. The man will have 40 years of availability for sperm insemination. The female adds 5 years of worthy eggs. Now, that is a massive asymmetry. Now, add to this all of the problem of polygamy and the fact that females can choose to divorce and then rotate to another man, and then they take more men for the same female. And you have the recipe here for why fat girls always have boyfriends. It's because not all men even reproduce in our world. So they're always going to be available for the lowest part of the dating scale. Keith Woods has published this video of Weinstein. This is also what's blackpilling me, is that we can't have an honest conversation. We have double standards being talked about between a Jewish interviewee to a Jewish interviewer, and no one is there to call them out. No one is there to confront them and just say, hey, examine the self-contradiction of what you're proposing here.
We have a situation in which anti-Semitism and other forms of bigotry are tolerated by both the left and the right to get votes. And if either of these groups...
And it's because the behavior of the Jews has been so self-entitled in the last 40 years as to lead them into a genocide, into the Jews asking their allies to participate to that genocide, as to lead them to the Jews being the worst neighbors in the Middle East, trying to actively interfere with the free development of the societies around them. And at this point, there are so many people who have noticed that even those mainstream political parties cannot, despite the fact that they're completely bought out by Jews, they cannot go with an explicit pro-Jewish position, because there's just too many people who know. Too many people who know what the actions of the Jews have been in the last 40 years.
Would just kick out bigots.
Well, if you kick out what's maybe 40% to 50% of the population from your political party in the U.S., you lose. Whether you're on the right or the left, whether it's the Democrat or the Republican, there is between 40 and 50% of the people who are awakened to the problem of Jewry in America. This is a voter base that you basically cannot get rid of.
the Groypers, or, you know, the
So he wants to ban the Groypers from the Republican Party.
Pro-Hamas left. They could have at the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's completely alienated.
There is no middle left, Eric. The only middle left are people who are due to die and haven't died yet, and they are still subscribing to the old mediatically controlled, Jewish-controlled mindset of any critique of the Jews is always bad. We have created a new world for the new generation. We have used, and I was part of this movement largely, I think you could see me as one of the major causes of the state of the world right now. Because I was one of the first live streamers, the first live streamer to bring up this question to a large audience. What the fuck is happening with Jewish subversion in the US political system? And at this point, the whole generation that's rising are more aware of this question than the last one by an order of magnitude. You're not going to get rid of them because all that's left for our plan to enact itself is the death of the boomer age people, the death of their children. And eventually, you're going to have Gen X being the oldest people in America. And then you're going to have a full population of people who all know about the Jewish question. It's all downhill for your interest going forward. And I kind of celebrate it and I like it because you've not been honest. You've not been honestly engaging. You've been using the public space to push manipulative talking points, double standards, advantages to your people, to your race, and that will end. That will end within our lifetime.
Stating that these two sides won't call out their problem.
Right. See, I don't see the symmetry on that, in that to me, the left has been largely, and the Democrat Party largely has been overtaken by, let's say, the Hamas thing. On the right, I don't see Trump really placating those people. I don't think he's...
It's not a question of placating. It's a question of you actually have to call this stuff out. What I see is dual signaling.
He wants Trump to reject the Groyper vote. But you can't. That's too many people. If Trump had not let it at least be neutral in his processing of the Groyper question, he may have lost the election. There's just too many people for whom it is an important question, the Jewish question, the question of race, the question of American demographics, the three themes, let's say, of the Groypers, plus religion, of course. But these questions are too important for a too large segment of a population that Trump couldn't explicitly come out against them during the election. Now, he can come out against hatred, knowing that, well, they don't self-identify as haters. He can come out against anti-Semitism because, oh, well, then there's kind of an equivocation. Is the anti-Semitism that he's talking about, is it the same as the one that Groypers adhere to? But you can't get rid of this voter base at the point where it's between 40 and 50% of the American population.
Mm-hmm. I see huge signaling, hey, we're with Israel, we're with the Jews, we're...
Now, that is true. Trump is a signaler. That's all he does. And this is why I still have some hope. I would say I give it maybe less than 10% chance. But I still have some hope in Trump that he could revert. That he could come out and say, all right, we're going to say no to Israel for the first time and see what happens. I still have this hope that in his big bullshitting, reflex, we will not get a war with Iran. 90%, I would say, we will get a war with Iran. But I still have this sliver of probability.
On the side of good against evil. And I see this idea of we're also going to signal.
So here, this is very subtle. So he's framing whether you side with the Jews or not, it's siding for good against evil. It's siding for civilization against uncivilized people. So what he's telling you here is that he should be able to bomb the whole of Gaza, to bomb other countries eventually, so that Israel can expand continuously, because Israel is good and the other countries are bad, and Israel is civilization and the other countries are not civilization.
Of the people who harbor very bad suspicions, particularly the Gorper movement.
Very bad suspicion. I want to re-listen to this one.
Hey, we're with Israel, we're with the Jews, we're on the side of good against evil.
We're Israel, we're with the Jews, we're on the side of good against evil.
And I see this idea of we're also going to signal to people who harbor very bad suspicions, particularly the Gorper movement.
So the Gorper movements are harboring bad suspicions. This is a bizarre way to phrase it. I don't know yet what to think of it. The Gorper movement harbors bad suspicions against the Jews. Well, the problem is the Jews have historically justified this suspiciousness. The Jews have betrayed militarily the U.S., have lied to the U.S. to get the U.S. in wars, have led the U.S. into wars that ultimately were based on lies, the lies of weapons of mass destruction. How many betrayals before one is justifyingly suspicious? Yes, and DK Shadow points out, bad suspicions versus good suspicions? Are suspicions ever really bad or good? And why are they bad suspicions? They are suspicions because they are suspicions against you, Eric. They are bad for you. The suspicion is always good to have on the side of the suspicioner. The suspicioner in chief is having suspicions based on past behavior that have indicated a risk of dealing with Jewish interest. And that risk is the loss of massive amounts of life to a people that believes they are superior, to a people who believes they represent good versus evil, and that the killing of people around them is a necessary side damage of the war between good and evil. And you have recruited the US into wars that have led to millions of civilian deaths on the basis of absolutely pure lies, the lies of weapons of mass destruction. And you have done so with your president in front of Congress before we got in the war. You have a Bibi Netanyahu saying the U.S. should strike Iraq. The U.S. should remove this regime from Saddam. And if Saddam can be removed, you will have positive reverberations in the area. So I think that suspicions are justified. Now, we also have the JFK files. Is it possible that the Jews were so intent on controlling the direction of the U.S. that when they had a president that didn't do what they wanted, they killed him? Is that our interaction with the Jews costing us our potentially best presidents? You also have the USS destroyed, the USS... I don't remember the name, USS Ship of America, being targeted by Israeli forces. All of this to create a fake justification for a war with Egypt. So the complete destruction of an American military ship by Israel for triggering a war with the USS Liberty, that's the name of the ship. The complete destruction of an American warship as a false flag to start a war with Egypt. I think it's a long history of betrayals. I think that any one of these betrayals would justify massive suspicions. I believe that if any other country than Israel had done this to the US, they would be marked as enemies and terrorists. The only reason Israel gets the special treatment is that Israel has infiltrated our internal mechanism of politics, media, and banks.
don't worry, we're going to signal to you too. And they're going to kind of speak out of both sides of their mouth, playing this cryptic game. And I wish that they would just be very, very clear. And because think about it, you have this opportunity to go after the middle, you know, like reasonable people.
There's no more middle. You killed the middle class in America, and you killed the middle of politics with lies. And at this point, the generation rising is all extremist for one side or the other. For better or worse, whether they're leftist or right wingers, I think it's for the better that the new generation rising is all radicals.
Yeah, get rid of your extremes. What you really want to alienate the people who would like to be part of?
Well, there are no more normies, Eric. Everyone has moved to the internet. Everyone is in bubbles of information. You have not cultivated a normie-centrist culture because the internet doesn't lend itself to this. There was a massive shift in the media, and you lost control of too much of it, so that there's no more middle to appeal to here.
It's interesting. We've discussed this for years, but yeah. I'm just not that concerned about that. And it seems to me that Trump has grabbed those people in the middle, as illustrated by.
So here you have the Rubin side making the case that, oh no, well, we did what you wanted. It's Trump. It's the Trump revolution. And in a way, he's right. Trump has let himself be subverted by the Jews. And we know this. We've been talking about this. But see, Eric Weinstein is he's unsatisfiable that even the degree of submission of Trump is not enough for him. You would like to see an attack against the Groyper, and you would like to see probably military decisions in the direction of Israel. So he cannot be content with the degree of subversion that Trump is already subjected to, which to me is the limit of my tolerance, because Trump is so subverted, I couldn't even root for him during the last election. Even I, who have been a fan of Trump since 2016 and before, I couldn't root for him in 2024 because he's too subverted. But that level of subversion is not enough for Eric. Silver Spider says maybe Trump was there to pull the base to the middle, like Nick said. Well, that's the goal. That's why Rubin is like, yeah, that's what we've done with the Republican Party. And effectively, yes, the Republican Party has been subverted by Jewish interests. Now, will it last? Does Trump have a Trump card in his sleeve? I would love to. I would love to if we can get out of the Trump administration in 3 years from now and we don't have a war with Iran and we don't have the wartime economy that will come with it. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, you showed the old man claiming a source of Mossad being involved in JFK assassination. What was that source? In other words, what are the primary sources of evidence of Mossad involvement? Well, I'm not an expert of this, so I would refer you to the video itself and to Ryan Dawson. Ryan Dawson, here I'm going to put the link to the video. But Ryan Dawson is knowledgeable on this, and we had an interview with him on my show back in the days. I think that Ryan Dawson kind of has an idea of what could be in the JFK files. In fact, aren't there some JFK files that have been already released, but I think that they weren't satisfying to experts like Ryan Dawson. So I would say go to the X account of Ryan Dawson, and he has all these graphics that he has for his supporters, and some of them will explain to you all the basics around JFK. What else do we have? Oh, yeah. Constantine kissing. Constantly kissing Jewry's ass.
The lie we told the Ukrainians was...
Everyone saw what happened in the Oval Office, although most people only saw the clip.
I don't think anyone saw what happened in the Oval Office. The overwhelming majority of people only watched tiny clips.
Okay, so what really happened?
What the fuck are you doing? You're sitting in the Oval Office in the White House. You don't have the luxury of being so intemperate. Mm.
So this is the perfect example of a limited hangout. You have Constantine kissing at first, displaying, hey, I'm going to be critical of Zelensky, but then he's going to be essentially saying the exact same thing that Zelensky is saying. Look at the bait and switch here.
And your country doesn't have that luxury. So Zelensky made a big mistake, but it's not terminal. Ultimately, all of this depends on what the deal is. The real question is, without the boots on the ground, there is no security. And without
and boom, already a reversal. So he was critical of Zelensky, but if you can't put boots on the ground, we can't have security. Like, where does that come from? There's always been security in places where there's no, we don't need military personnel throughout the world. You really want to cause a conflict with Russia if you want to send boots on the ground. That's what you want to do. The same way they want to do it with Iran.
Without security, this invasion will be repeated. We will be back here again. Something that not enough people have talked about in the context of this entire thing is how much of this is to do with Iraq. If we don't end the conflict in Ukraine on the right terms, we are building up terrible consequences for the long term.
I want to talk about the MAGA right. You mentioned that they keep saying lies. Okay. What are the lies?
So here, that's interesting. He says, what are those lies on the right that you claim about Ukraine? And look at what he claims is a lie, and then he's going to make a goalpost move, and oh, it's not really a lie.
The big lies.
Where do we start? The big lie is, in 2014, there was a coup in Ukraine.
So he claims that it is a lie when we say on the right that in 2014 there was a coup. But there was a coup. Yanukovych got outed. And the Oliver Stone documentaries have fully documented how this coup ultimately was backed by the U.S., where there were U.S. social media entities and NGOs receiving enormous amounts of funding to train the Ukrainians into this little revolution. Yes, there was a coup. Now, so you're like, wait a minute, we just asked you for a lie? You're telling us that the coup was a lie? No, look, he's going to do a goalpost move here.
Now, a lot of people say, yeah, but it was funded by the CIA and it was sponsored by blah, blah, blah. Every revolution in history has interference from foreign powers.
And so, now it's not a lie. It did happen. And, you know, it did happen. And, you know, that's just how revolutions happen. It all the time. Every time, revolutions always happen with foreign interference. So now we moved from the claim, you are a liar because you claim there's a coup in 2014, to, well, there was a coup in 2014, but all coups, have to happen. And historically, coups always happen with funding. And so it's normal that the U.S. wanted to fund that coup. Well, so where's the lie here? There is no lie. The lie is you, Constantine Kissin. The lie is when you claim that this was a lie. Conor McGregor was at the White House doing some show.
What is going on in Ireland is a travesty. Our government is the government of zero action with zero accountability. You know, our money is being spent on overseas issues that has nothing to do with the Irish people. The illegal immigration racket is running ravage on the country. There are rural towns in Ireland that...
Yeah, but you need political power, because yapping at the White House brings you nothing. In fact, isn't it weird that you are at the White House, you are at the center of power of the world, and the president that we elected to precisely get this under control doesn't even know that Hunter Biden is under intelligence service protection in South Africa on the taxpayer's bill. So there is a huge problem here that, first, we don't have political power. Second, every time we get close to political power, it gets subverted. And third, even if we had political power, we seem like we wouldn't know what to do with it, because Trump doesn't even know He's paying for Hunter Biden's Secret Service personnel, 18 staff, to take vacations in South Africa. There is a huge problem before we can get to even thinking about neutralizing the government. Transgender influencer announces that they are leaving the United States. That's nice. Self-deportation.
I'm leaving the country, and I could use a little help. As you might imagine, being a trans woman, I'm not super excited about the direction this country is headed. I live in an area that is still relatively safe for trans people, but I'd rather not be here if and when that stops being the case. So I'm leaving by the end of the year with my fiancé to live in a place that has more constitutional protections for people like me. However, moving is expensive, generally, let alone moving to a whole ass other country. Luckily, TikTok, I guess.
And so he goes on to sell some lipstick, the bee wax lipstick. And so he's going to make a couple of cents per item that you buy. So if you buy enough of the honey wax lipstick, he's going to be able to pay for a plane. Here you have Donald Trump just tying the question of Houthis to Iran. So he's saying, if the Houthis do any act of aggression against, in response to our aggression, we will consider that it's a direct hit from Iran. And Iran will be held responsible and suffer the consequences, and those consequences will be dire. And so it's really they're trying to set up a war against Iran. And I will go back to a tip that I gave Iran maybe 2 years ago, or maybe more. Was it in the first Trump presidency that I gave this tip? I told Iran, just don't attack. And I would say the same thing here. Clearly, if I'm Iran, what do I see? I see clearly they want to get me involved in a war. Clearly, everything that goes on in the next year, it's just a question of what will the Americans use as an excuse to bombard my country. Okay, let's relax. Let's not panic. Therefore, if I do absolutely nothing, if the Houthi rebels are super chill, they're smoking pot in Yemen, watching the boats pass, and Iran is super chill, not saying death to America, not sending ships, not showing signs of power, then they will be left with no excuse. And that's the best you can do, because clearly the Israeli-American, Judeo-American regime has decided that they were going to find an excuse. And DK Shadow says, if Iran does nothing, they will just set up a false flag with burned passports. Exactly. But yeah, force them to do an act that is absolutely ridiculous, that may be so ridiculously false that it may eventually be exposable to the public that it was false. So yes, I say, if I was Iran, I would even go to the point of trying to neutralize my own citizens. Like, don't send your citizens traveling to Saudi Arabia, because they could get recruited in something that gets passed as a Iranian action. Keep your citizens in, keep everyone in, don't distribute weapons, don't create trouble. And that way, at least, whatever America finds as an excuse will be so-so. And in fact, it may be so bad that it will lead America to have to trust a fabrication from Israel. And in every fabrication, there's always an error. So that would be my position if I was Iran. I don't know what they will do. Last time they listened to me. Last time they said, JF, you're absolutely right. We're just going to tone it down. We're just going to... Because anyways, there's nothing you can do. You can't win a war against America. So you're going to have to take in the bombardments. So your advantage is to just continue building your missile capacities and all. and just accept that you may be struck, and it may be without a reason. That's the best you can hope. Home Matt had a reflection on politics and women. Hey kid, want to understand politics? Women are born with a sense of justice that is optimized for dealing with other women and with children. Men are optimized for dealing with other men. Being a man has been illegal for 3 generations, for some mysterious reason. So women have grown up watching men not be men, which drives them insane. This causes fatherless behavior. Dad's not here, so do what you want. This is why liberal, i.e. maladjusted, emotionally neglected women, do not see all adult males as men. They don't know what men means outside of male who gives me a special tingle. So when they look at an adult male and they don't feel a tingle, that's a child. They see you as children. They love to say so. And the female brain assumes that it is in charge of children. That's why they want to give you all your shit away and laugh at your suffering. They think they're being fair to the other children, and that forcing you to share will make you learn your lesson. Their brains also assume that there is an infinite pool of resources that will never go away. Santaism. This is because getting resources is a male thing, and sharing resources is a female/child thing. You may be familiar with the common male-female argument of let's spend less for the future versus let's spend more for comfort. What do you mean, future? Just spend infinity now and then spend infinity again later. Do you know where your food comes from? What about your clothes? Can you imagine how much work it took to make everything you have? Now imagine that you can't understand this at all. You just get TV static in your brain. But we have enough food for the whole world. We could solve hunger if we tax Elon Musk. That's how liberal, i.e. insufficiently developed minds of humans think. Elon Musk is just a child who is hogging the snacks and not a man who provides, unless they want to have sex with him. Liberal, i.e. demented and neurologically atrophied woman, perceive man as makes me horny and not as provider and protector. That's why they see the entire planet as one enormous daycare. And the rules of daycare are take care of all the children equally. That's why everything is chaos. That's why they vote even harder left, the more chaotic it gets. The solution is share harder. They just can't understand why you won't play nice with a billion retards from hell who would murder you for a Slim Jim. A billion retards from hell who would murder you for a Slim Jim. I have never seen the immigration situation so beautifully laid out. Why wouldn't you want to share life with a billion retards from hell who would murder you for a Slim Jim? They're just babies after all, and if they get more love from mommy, then they'll grow up nice. There is no real world to them. It's just one big, big, big high school, and you are just another student, unless you give them tingles. And when you're not playing nice, they tell teacher. And you will never ever reach a single one of them with logic or reason, because virtually no one even knows what those are. And everyone who does is either 1, not liberal, or 2, a psychopath playing liberals like puppets. Most people think logic, reason, rationality, and science mean when my feelings are correct. If you want all the insane, mentally destroyed leftist woman to act normal again, the only way to do that is to make them respect you as a man, which means providing something she can't get better or easier elsewhere. And we are all having a really hard time providing much for some mysterious reason. Absolutely. And the mysterious reason is it has been made illegal to be a man 60 years ago. Silver Spider says they really need to get nukes already If They Want to Survive. That should be the title of JF's next book. Yes. Very good idea. A female comedian. People are going down hard on this woman. I think it's kind of funny what she says, but let's have a look.
Hi, I'm Priscilla. I'm 31, and I really want to promote my comedy.
Do you want to drop a joke? Because you're a stand-up comedian, right?
Yeah. Okay, so I had a really rough childhood. I had to grow up really fast. Like, I had my first job when I was 11 years old. Some people tell me it doesn't count because it was a blow, but no. A job's a job.
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't.
And what is that? Is that a social worker against the abuse of teenage woman? I don't know. But I mean, it was. I like the awkwardness of the joke, especially in the context where she's surrounded by women who have sucked plenty of dick. I don't know. It was better than most female jokes, let me tell you.
Okay. How about like I love the vibe and the whatever podcast? It makes me feel weird to say the word vibe because usually I only talk about vibe when I'm mentioning vibes. But like people are always like, "Do you vibe to Taylor Swift?" And I'm like,
"No, I do not."
Okay. It's woman humor, kind of annoying, but I like her autistic style of dropping it, her awkwardness. I think the jokes could be better.
I flew here, and I will say on the flight over, I was sitting next to these three kids with their dad, and it really ruined the flight. Sorry, the whole flight, they were just like, "Daddy, daddy, 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 daddy." I'm like, "You've ruined that word."
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
I flew...
Bro, do these women comedians ever review their material? You have to test the material. You have to see if it catches on. Now, I get it. There's a structure to that joke. But it took me a while before I understood. Okay, you mean that she likes the word daddy as part of sex? And because she's heard kids use the word daddy too many times now, it wasted the word for her. Maybe there's a better delivery possible. Maybe there's a way this couldn't be made into a joke. But you have to test your humor. We have here the teenage daughter of Hollywood actors. I didn't know they had a teenage daughter. Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards. Apparently a Christian daughter that they have. And I love these two actors, actually. And they have such a facial feature to them. And I can see both in her.
I'm about to go on a live news show. And you're allowing me to feel these feelings. Like, what the heck? But I know that God allowed that so I could see his power in my weakest moment. That when I am weak, he is strong. So, you guys, I have to read you this verse because it's in Corinthians, I think. Let me find it. Hold on. Okay, I found it. This is Corinthians 12, 8 through...
Okay, so she goes on reading the Bible. But I'm very interested at the racial features, the special features, because Denise Richard had perhaps the most identifiable face within female beauty. Like back in those days in the movies, you would see her. She had something very special about her eyes, her facial structure. I think it's kind of in her teenage daughter, but her teenage daughter perhaps to be of the level of beauty of Denise Richards, she would have to maybe lose some weight on the cheeks, but I can see those eyes. And then Charlie Sheen, who was a male specimen of his own and charming, a very charming guy with a facial structure that is kind of Chad. Yeah, I can see Charlie Sheen in her also. It's amazing to see the products of absolute beauty, you know, beauty that has been Hollywood tested, producing the next generation. Sneed 8 poster says she is the homecoming queen phenotype. Homecoming queen. Okay, I don't know what that is. There is someone who makes a remark that is very relevant. Your reminder that having a trade deficit does not mean that you are subsidizing a country. It means that you buy more from that country than it buys from you, and indicates spectacular ignorance of how trade works. Yeah, we should always remember that this bizarre ways of Trump approaching the economy, saying there's a trade deficit and therefore we're subsidizing your country, is not real. I understand perhaps it's part of a 6D chess strategy to restore American manufacturing, and if it is, so be it. But it's a big lie. It's not a subsidy to be buying stuff that you need. Like, the people who are buying stuff from Canada, probably lumber, steel, whatever, all of this are stuff that they need. And they're buying it from Canada because it's cheaper there. So as long as they're doing it and you are putting tariffs, you are depriving your population of stuff that they needed. And they're going to have to go elsewhere to get it or to pay the tariff. And in both cases, they will get what they need at a higher price. So it's not a subsidy. A subsidy is when you literally keep something alive that you don't need. That's what a subsidy is. Or you need it for some other reason. Trade is not a subsidy. To the contrary, trade is a rational decision that your people or your companies are making. A famous study found that black babies have higher survival rates if attended by black doctors than white doctors. But a reanalysis of the data shows the effect disappears after accounting for the fact that low birth weight babies more often see white doctors. So yes, you have to be careful with this evidence. It's been used to justify the idea that, oh my god, hospitals have racist procedures. These racist white doctors, they care less when it's a black baby, and it leads to more black death. But the reality is, if you see a white doctor, he's probably more competent, and it probably means that you're in bigger trouble. If they let the black doctor handle your pregnancy, that's because they're convinced that everything will be okay. Now, if you go see a very, very high-level specialist, that means your child was, to begin with, more at risk of dying. And he's not dying because the specialist is white. He's dying because you are in a dire situation. And you absolutely needed a white doctor to give you the best chance of succeeding. As a last news item, Trump's America is imprisoning this woman for many days because her visa wasn't valid anymore. She is the Canadian American Pie actress Jasmine Mooney. I have to be careful because this is a case of a Canadian being held by ICE agents. Because she showed up at the Mexico border, she didn't have, her visa was not valid anymore, and so she was jailed for 12 days. But I think she was jailed because she was at the Mexico border, but she has Canadian nationality, so she had to be basically deported north. I hope that they wouldn't kidnap me for 12 days if I was to just show up as a tourist at the border.
I can't even process what just happened because there was no heads up. Next thing you know, I'm taken and for 2 weeks haven't been told anything.
That's one thing I noticed when they refused my entry. they use language. They are basically detaining you. Of course, in my case, they left me free to move and all. But they are basically telling you, you are under detention because you are illegally in the U.S. But it's like, I just drove here. Just drove here voluntarily. I have nothing to hide. I just wanted to apply for a visa. And it's like, no, we are detaining you. And you are now being deported. It's like, okay, you could just have said no, you know. They use very bizarre language. And I was wondering, to what extent could they have taken me? For many days.
Moved in different cells, sleeping on cement, sleeping in different jail cells. Like, it just, nothing makes sense to me, and I'm still trying to process the entire situation.
Mooney was transported from Arizona to San Diego before returning to Canada. She didn't speculate if her detainment was related to the trade war between Canada and the U.S., but BC Premier David Eby said last week that the story reinforces the anxiety many Canadians are feeling about the strained relationship between our two countries.
I can't even process what...
Okay, so be careful. At the border, you barely have any rights. As a last news item, they taught AI how to talk like a corporate middle manager and thought this meant that the AI was conscious instead of realizing that corporate middle managers aren't. Bravo, good sir, bravo. This is what we should realize, that the delusion that we need consciousness and that consciousness is something so great, and that consciousness is even involved in our decision, that's the beginning of the illusion that we must dismantle. And you have to realize consciousness is an after effect. You needed to feel it, so your genes made something up, and that gives you the impression that you're in control of your brain, but your brain has all of the mechanism to make your decisions for you, and very often without you being conscious of it.